Okay, good morning, everybody. Shavua Tov. Welcome back to our Shmiras HaLashon class learning. So we will begin with the Tefillah Al Hadibur, please. Ribono Sha'olam, Yihi Ratzon Lefanecha Rachum Lechanun, Shetizakeni Hayom Lechol Yom Lishmer Pi Ulashoni Milashon Hara Urechilas, Ve'ezarim Ledaber Afilo Al Yish Yachid, Ve'kol Shekein HaKaisa, O Achelek Mechem, Ve'kol Shekein Lisraim Amidosev Shal Kol Sh Baruch Hu. Ezarim ledaber divrei shaker chanufa mechlokas ka asgaiva ona astvarim habanas panim leitzanus v'chol dibur aser v'zakeni shelo ledaber kim daber hatzarich v'inyane gufi v'nafshi v'yu kol ma'asai v'diburai l'shem shamayim. So our learning is aschus aliyah neshamet for tzvi gershon ben yoel v'chana alav hashal. May the neshama continue to merit an aliyah and the aschus of the divrei Torah and divrei chizuk that we will share. Also, as Chus Eliyah Neshama for Zev Wolf Ben Yishai Lav Hashem, may his Neshama also merit as Chus Eliyah and the Chus of the Divrei Torah. And with your permission, as Chus for continued refuah for Bracha Vigal, Bas Rachel Gita, the Soch Sha'ar Chavei Yisrael. So, welcome everybody to our important learning on this legal holiday. So, a wonderful way to start our day with Divrei Torah. And important to Vechizuk. So we are continuing, I mark off every time when we finish, in the Torah of Avigdor, Torah of HaRav Avigdor Melo, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. It's the Kuntras from Parshas Bahar, but the title of this Kuntras is Speak with Kier, and we are learning very important in Yanim from HaRav Avigdor Melo, Zatzal's Chusya Ginalinu. So this will be the third class that we are continuing. It is on the topic of Onas Dvarim, and that is really where we are up to in the Sefer, the topic of Onas Dvarim. Many teachers of the Chafetz Chaim. So we ended last time with a story from the Chafetz Chaim. If you recall, it was actually quoted from Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky from his commentary to Pirkei Avos, Visions of the Fathers, but he quoted a story about the Chafetz Chaim and the butcher who came to him in a dream. And that was about the Chafetz Chaim. So we will continue our learning today with Rav Avigdor Milder. And we're talking about Ona Asdvarim. And last time specifically, we talk about Ona Asdvarim in the home, verbal oppression between people in the home, which is sometimes where it may be more prevalent and relevant. Sometimes we are on better behavior with people outside of the home and on more not appropriate behavior, if you will, with people inside the home. And the last thing that we saw in the Kuntras, if you remember, is the a woman who was on her deathbed. And he says, I know a woman, I called him a devil, a man, a frum man, a frum devil. And when the wife was on the deathbed, he came to her and he said, please forgive me. This was what we did last time. And she said, I won't forgive you. And then she died. A true story. He was finished. She left the world and he had not acquired mechila. Okay. So that's where we ended. Oh, I must tell you something. I meant to say it last time. And I forgot. I made a note here. I forgot. So I'm going to tell to you this time. This is something that I read in Mishpacha a little while ago. And I actually shared it with the Shir hostess and sponsor. And I thought that it was so powerful. It was a very short line. It was an article from Rav Ginsburg, okay, of the Chavetz Chaim Torah Center in Mishpacha. And I think it may have been, I sent myself this email on May 29th as a reminder. So I don't know if it was in the Pesach, which edition I read it on Mishpacha. Listen to this. It was an article by Rabbi Chaim Ginsburg. Chaim is the name that added. Rabbi Aryeh Zev Ginsburg Shlita. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, if one spends 40 years of his life working on Shmiras HaLashon, if it helps him refrain from the Aveira even one time, the prolonged effort of that work is considered worthwhile. I thought that this was an unbelievable chizik. I'm going to repeat again. I typed it up and I sent it to myself and I meant to say it over last time and I forgot. An article from Rav Ginsburg Shlita and Mishpacha. Rav Yisrael Salanter said, if one spends 40 years of his life working on Shmiras HaLashon, the prolonged effort is considered worthwhile even if it helps him refrain from the Aveira even one time. So I think that for all of us, we have, Bezrat Hashem, been helped and refrained from the Aveira certainly more than one time, but I found that to be a very, very big chizuk for this Shir Chabura and our learning. The other thing I want to say is the introduction before we get back to Harav Avigdor Miller. Two things I want to say is the introduction. That was one of them. And the second thing I want to say, I was listening to a shir from a few months ago, also from a few months ago, Rabbi Shai Shechter. But he said something interesting from the Chofetz Chaim. There is an issur not to speak Lashon Hara, not to speak Onas Dvarim, not to speak Devei Leitzanish. There's also an issur not to be mekabel those words. You're not allowed to accept the words. So how could you not accept negative words, the words of mockery, the rechilos that someone says, motzi shem? It's very hard. If someone says something to you, it goes into your ears. What do you say? I'm not makabla, but you heard it. You were there. Now somewhere in the back of your mind or in the front of your mind, the seed is planted about those negative words. So how are you not supposed to accept, whether it's the yitzanis or the kas or the noaz dvarim or the rechilos or the lashon hara, the motzi shem? What does it mean, just don't be makabla? How could you not be makabla? So Rabbi Shechter gave an interesting mashal from the Chofetz Chaim that I thought was very elucidating and helpful. The Chofetz Chaim says, okay, Rabbi Shechter, in Rabbi Shechter's words, let's say a homeless person comes over to you, okay? Or a person who is of not mentally sound mind. A person, unfortunately, who has lost their mind. And they start to give you advice. They start to tell you that you should do this, you should do that. They give you advice. You're not going to listen to this person. You know that this person is not well. You know that this person does not, unfortunately, have their life in order. You know that this person cannot be trusted. Okay, you're walking and someone in the train station comes over to you. You're in Penn Station in the city. You get off the LIRR. And some person comes over to you and starts to give you investment advice. Okay, you should invest in this, you should invest in that. Even if the advice sounds reliable and reasonable, you're still not going to listen to them. Why? Because you're not going to be makabel anything that this person tells you. That's how it should be. When someone comes over and starts speaking negative words, you lowlife. Why should I listen to anything you're saying? Listen to what's trash you're spewing out of your mouth. Speaking lashon hara, you're speaking mostly shema. Of course, I'm not going to be makabel anything you say. You should think about it as if you're taking advice from Achman of the Sun, the person who's living in the subway station. They come and they give you advice. You're just not going to listen to them. They unfortunately fell hard on their luck, and the advice coming from them is not always so useful. That's how you should look at the words that somebody speaks when they are negative words. Bad words, poisonous words, words of tsarus ayin, words of rechilus and leitzanus. You should say, I'm not going to take any advice from you. And if you view them in the category of somebody who has unfortunately lost their mind, even if the advice sounds to be pretty sound, but if you remember that this is a person who lost their mind, otherwise they wouldn't be speaking these words of sin, then it's much easier to view them in that fashion and then realize that, of course, I'm not going to be makabel what they're saying, just like I would not be makabel stock advice or business advice from a person, unfortunately, who is not of sound mind. Why would I listen to what you're saying? So I was a shir from a few months ago that Rabbi Shechter gave, but I thought it was a very interesting and very helpful mashal. So those are the two divrei pesicha. One, if you spend, says Rav Yisrael Salanter, 40 years of your life working on Shmir Salashan, and you hold back one time, 40 years of Avoda was worth it for one time. It's unbelievable. And secondly, how can we work on not being Mekabel Lashon Hara? With those two, and I thought it was very, very practical, and an interesting analogy from Rabbi Shechter in the name of the Chofetz Chaim that could be very helpful. Okay, now we go back to Harav Avigdor Miller. Okay. That's why the subject of onas dvarim, which is verbal oppression, using our words to hurt others, cannot be ignored. We have to realize that hurting someone's feelings is the same lav, isur d'oraisa, lo ta'ase. Hurting someone's feelings is a lav, just the same as eating ham. Pork ham, it's worse, says Rav Avigdor Miller. Quote, eating ham is a lav d'oraisa, but it never happens. From Jews eating ham? You cringe at the thought of eating chazer. But when it comes to onas dvarim, we're trampling on it all the time. I'm quoting verbatim, Torah Avigdor, Parshas Bahar, page 8. It's worse than the love of not eating ham, not eating basar chazer. Why? Eating ham is a lav d'oraisa, but it never happens. From Jews eating ham, ? You cringe at the thought of eating chazer. But when it comes to onas dvarim, quote, we are trampling on it all the time. And I want to tell you something, says Rav Avigdor Miller. The place where many of us are trampling in it the most is in our homes. So many people are sinning with their mouths in their homes. Imagine a Jewish home where all day long they sit down every meal. Ham for breakfast, pork for lunch, pork chops for dinner. A bite of ham in the morning, a ham sandwich in the afternoon, and some ham for supper. Is that a from home? Of course not. A home where a husband and a wife, where brothers and sisters are transgressing onas dvarim all the time? What kind of home is that? So he says, of course you can't eat chazer, pashas shmini, it's usher. However, no one does it. And no one would even think about doing it. It's such an abhorrent thought. It wouldn't even cross our lips. So how come we allow an asdvarim to cross our lips all the time? He says ham for breakfast, ham in the afternoon, and a ham sandwich for supper. Is that from home? A home where a husband and wife or brothers and sisters are transgressing an asdvarim all the time. What kind of home is that? A place where they're transgressing a very serious law all their lives. Now, Rav Victor Miller is not speaking to only one person. He's giving all of us tochacha. He's giving all of us musar. He's giving all of us the way of life as per the guidance of Torah. So everyone has to think for themselves. Not how's my neighbor doing, or how's my spouse doing, or how's my kid doing, or how's my cousins doing. We have to think for ourselves, how am I doing? The Torah's lavin, the Torah's mitzvos are for each and every one of us. We all have to apply this and take it to our own heart. And this is advice from a God of the Torah, not from Rachman. It's not like the mashal we gave in the beginning of this year. But no, this is divrei Torah from a leader, a Talmud Chacham, a God of Yisrael. What kind of home is that where Onas Dvarim is transgressed all the time? A place where they're transgressing a very serious love all their lives, very many times, sometimes thousands of times. Is that a from home? So I'm going to screen share the what I prepared on here for you, some proofs from the Torah of this idea. Okay, so 1 second. Okay, so could you say when to Bereishis Perek Gimel? Okay, so the very first sin in the Torah is, and Rav Avigdor Miller is going to mention the Nachash, the very first sin in the Torah was Isha taking from the Eitz Hadas Tovira that they were not allowed to take from, and she ate. She ate a fruit from the Eitz Hadas Tovira that Hashem said was forbidden. Okay, but what precipitated that sin was the Nachash spoke Lashon Hara Kaviyacha about God, so to speak. He said Hashem does not want competition. Every craftsman hates others who do his own craft. God does not want competition. So if you eat from the fruit, you will be like Elohim Yodea Tov Ra. Hashem does not want competition. So really what precipitated the first sin was the sin that the precursor, which was the sin of Lashon Hara. What's very interesting is that after Adam and Isha sin, if you look here, Parag Gimel of Bereishis, okay, so Hashem comes along after we determine and Adam and Isha Taka ate from the Eitz Hadas Tovura. So Hashem curses Adam. Ula Adam Amar Kishmato Kol Ishtecha V'Tocha Mina Eitz Asher Sivisicha Leimar Lo Socha Mimenu Arura Adama Bavuracha Mitzvon Tochana Kol Yimechayacha. So Hashem comes along and he says, listen, you listen to the voice of your wife. You ate from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from. The ground is cursed because of you. With toil, with sweat, with pain, you will eat from the ground all the days of your life. The kotz v'dardar tatzmiachach, it will sprout for you thorns and thistles. The chalta es esef hasada, you will eat from the grass of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread until you return from the ground, because you were taken from the ground, because you are dust, and to dust you will turn. So Hashem comes along and he gives Adam a series of curses, and now Adam is just told he will become mortal. Adam was made from dust of the earth. Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin. Hashem took from the dust of the earth and he created man. So at this point, Hashem now says, oh, you're going back to the dust. Offer Ata Ve'al Offer Tashuv. Someone said to me a few years ago, two things. No one gets off the planet alive. And the second one is that no one has a long-term lease on life. Offer Ata Ve'al Offer Tashuv. It was supposed to be, even though we don't understand even what that means, that before the first sin, man would be immortal. We have no conception of that. It's impossible for us to even conceive what it means, a world without death. But now Hashem told Adam, when he commanded him not to eat from the fruit, he said, because on the day you eat from it, most tamus, you will surely die. And now that comes to fruition. Ki offer atavel, offer tashav, you are dust, and you are going back to dust. Right? Everyone goes the same way. Vayikra Adam, and then the very next pasuk seems to be totally out of place. Adam does not react to God. Adam doesn't say chatasi, which a different word he should have done, teshuvah, whatever. The Maisa, what Adam says is, Vayikra Adam shem ishto chava ki hi hoi so im chachayim. It's a very interesting juxtaposition of psukim. Adam doesn't say, oh my God, and he doesn't tear kriya, and he doesn't say, damn, he doesn't say, Hashem, I'm so mad at you. He doesn't say, Isha, I'm so mad at you. He says, what kind of wife are you? How could you give me that for supper? What were you thinking? Look at the disaster. It's a perfect opportunity for an onas dvarim between Adam and Isha. Maybe he would have even been justified in his onas dvarim. What does he do? And Adam called the name of his wife Chava because she was the mother of all living. Okay, there's a mefarshim who say that Chavi Chaviah is Aramaic for snake, by the way. Okay, Chaviah is Aramaic for snake. So there are a number of Mepharshim who say she's named Chav after the Aramaic for snake because she took the advice of the Nachash. Okay, but the pshat is she is the mother of Olive. He names her with such compassion, is kind of giving her a piece of his mind, instead of giving her a healthy dose of Onas Varim, which you could say perhaps was justified. Like, seriously, there were 999 trees that you could have chosen to make supper from in the garden. The one tree God said, don't eat, that's what you had to take from. Now we're going back to dust. Now we're all going to die. Now our whole destiny has changed. Now, Adam called his wife Chava. She is the mother of our living. With such compassion and forgiveness, with holding back his tongue, she listened to the advice of the Nachash. The Nachash is the Baal Lashon Hara par excellence. The tongue's always going in and out, in and out, in and out. He, lahefach, he held back on the tongue. Vayas Hashem Elkim, Adam Elishto, Kostnus Ar Vayabishem. And maybe that, now we understand why the very next thing Hashem does, he curses. After the curses, Adam has such compassion on his wife. He has such understanding and forgiveness. You made a mistake. You're still the mother of all living. You should call her the mother of all death. That's what he should tell her. You are the aim called Mavas. So he says, aim called Chai. And so Hashem, he forgave Isha, and therefore Hashem forgave them. What's the next pasuk? Vayas Hashem Elkim Adam Elishto, Kostnus Ar Vayabishem. Hashem made for Adam and his wife garments of leather, and he cloaked them. So Adam could have said to Isha, this is your problem, you get us out of this mess. And Hashem could have said to Adam and Isha, this is your problem, the two of you, get yourselves out of this mess. But we see a mida kenegel mida, b'midisha Adam modeid modeid no. Adam measured Isha, even after the sin and after the curse, with a great degree of compassion and kindness, as opposed to onas dvarim, verbal harassment. So you mamish see the very first instance in the Torah, it's unbelievable, of interaction bein Adam liishto, of interaction of shalom bayis, is a beautiful example. So what we don't usually think of, you know, Adam, he doesn't teach us so much besides for the maisa of what happened with Eitz Hadas, and he teaches us he didn't do teshuva, he hid from God, but look how he treated his wife. And maybe that's why he was Zocha Tatakobi, the father of all mankind, because Rav Victor Miller says, a homer, a husband and a wife, or brothers and sisters are transgressing on Nastvarim all the time. What kind of a home is that? It's a worse love to rice than eating ham. Because can you even imagine a home where there's ham in the morning, ham in the afternoon, and ham for supper? No, it would never, ever, ever happen. But Nastvarim happens all the time. Maybe this is one of the most fundamental lessons from Adam. And then so he was Zocha to remain the father of all of humanity. Hashem could have just killed him. I mean, it could have happened. And he could have made a new man and a new woman, and they would have started the human race. Perhaps one of the most enduring lessons of Adam is just from the pshat. Forget the chavia, and she's called Chava. Let's just look at the pshat. Rav Yehuda Kuberman Zatzal, when I was in Michalach, he was there, he led our trip to Poland, actually. Rav Yehuda Kuberman always said, you have to look at the pshat. You can't ignore the pshat. Sometimes we're so busy with drash, we just forget to look at the Torah narrative. The Torah narrative is God comes along and he curses everybody. And what does Adam say to his wife? I still love you. I understand. We made a mistake. You're the mother of all living. And therefore, Hashem says, "B'midas Adam modeid modedin lo." You forgave her; I will forgive you. And therefore, God made for them clothing. I want to go to the next source on the handout that I prepared for you, on the screen, I should say. 1 second. Okay, can you see I'm Bereishis Perek Lamed? Yes. Okay. Thank you so much. So, if we actually look at the end of Bereishis Perek Chaf Tes, which is right here, I'm moving you up here. Okay, you see that Leah has a number of children in quick succession. Vatahar Leah Vateli Bain Vayikrus Ruvain. Leah has Ruvain, and then she has another conception, and she gives birth to another son, and she calls him Shimon. Conceives again, gives birth to another son, calls him Levi. Conceives again, gives birth to another son, she calls him Yehuda. So Leah clearly, has no infertility. And she has one child after another. However, Atevi Rachel Kilo Yaldali Yaakov, Rachel sees that she is now giving birth to Yaakov. But Tikane Rachel Ba'achota, Rachel is jealous of her sister. Leah just had four children, one after another. And Rachel is not having children. Vatomer al Yaakov, and she says to Yaakov, Havaliban and Vim Ain Mesanochi. Give me children, if not, I am like dead. So what is his reaction? Vayichar af Yaakov Birachel. The wrath of Yaakov flared against Rachel. By Yomen, he says, "Hatachas elokim anochi asher mana mimech pibatin." Am I, instead of God, that held back from you the fruit of your womb? It's a very simple and short exchange, but it has far-reaching repercussions. So Rachel sees she is not giving birth for Yaakov. She was jealous of her sister. She says to Yaakov, give me children. If not, I am dead. Yaakov becomes angry at Rachel. And how does he answer her? In his anger, by Yichar, he says, Af, Hatachas Elokim Enochi, do you think I'm instead of God? Who has withheld from you the fruit of your womb. Let's look at the Ramban, okay? Which you could see here on the side of the screen. The Ramban says, Havalibanim. She says, she demands, she makes a demand, Gumli children. I'm Rav Mefarshim, okay? Rashi and Rabbi Avram, even Ezra say, Shatit Palel Alai. What was she saying to Yaakov? Please daven for me. Tit Palel Alai, Havalibanim. She was saying, daven for me. Vim Ayin Mesa Nochi. If you don't daven for me, I'm like dead, Lashon Rashi. Okay? Shemisha ain't no banim chashuv kamis. Rashi, because the Ramban quotes the Chazal, the Rachmana Letzan, someone who does not have children is Nechshav Kameis. Who Medrash Rabbeinu? This is the Medrash from our rabbis. There are different categories of people who are Nechshav Kameis. An Ani is Nechshav Kameis, a Mitzorah is Nechshav Kameis, Ani is Nechshav Kameis, Mitzorah is Nechshav Kameis, a Chirish is Nechshav Kameis, and a person without children is Nechshav Kameis. One way to understand this is that each of these categories represent giving. Represent lack of being able to give. I should say the road was created for chesed. A person lives in order to give. An ani can't give because he has nothing to give. A mitzorah can't give because they are kicked out of the camp. Yoshev badad. So he cannot give. A cheirish cannot give because he cannot interact with people in a meaningful way because he is cut off from society. And a kara cannot give because Rahman's son, she does not have who to give to. So one way to understand this is the world was created for chesed. We all must find ways in which we give. I heard that, I think, from Rabbi Shai Schechter and also Rabbi Zavlev. Okay, very nice for her. But lemaisa, that's a side point. Okay, just one way to understand what it means that certain categories of people are nechshav kameis. Does the Rabban Shalom look upon someone whose alive is dead? It means that those people have to find other ways of giving. If they cannot give in, if an ani doesn't have money to give because he's an ani, so he has to find other ways. He has to give his time, he has to give a listening ear. You can be a giver, you have to find a different way of being a giver. Okay, beautiful. Okay. Vanita mea, but the Ramban says, I am perplexed. Imkain lamachara apo. Why was he angry? Why was Yaakov angry at her? The lama amar, and why does he say, atachas elokim anochi? Why, if she wants him to daven for her, which is what Rashi and the Ibn Ezra say, and we know from the Medrash that a kara is nechshav kamesh, so the Ramban says, I am perplexed, I am disturbed. If so, lama chara apo? Why did his wrath flare? Why did he become angry at her? Lama amar tachas elokim anochi? Why would he say to her, do you think I am instead of God? By the way, I know this coming week's parsha, last week in Eretz Yisrael was Chukas, and this coming week's parsha in Chutz Eretz is Chukas. There's a lot to talk about Onas Tvarim and Chukas also, which is Moshe Rabbeinu becoming angry at the people, according to the Rambam, which was this whole punishment, the Kaas. But we've learned it in the past before, so I didn't forget about it. And not only did I not forget about it, I think about it every year. Parshas Chukas is such a lesson in Kaas. But since we're talking about Onas Tvarim, I don't want to take a tangent from a tangent from a tangent, and we've learned the Rambam before, so that's why I didn't go to this year, okay? Lama chara apo, v'lama amar tachas elokim anochi v'shomea al tzadikim Hashem. The Ramban says, why would he say to her, am I instead of God? Why would he become angry at her? Doesn't Hashem listen to the righteous? Umasha amar abolo hayulo banim ani yesh li banim mimech mana mimeni lo mana. What was he saying to her? Yaakov says to her, listen, you say I should be like father. Yitzchak and Rivka. Parshas told us, Vayetar Yitzchak L'Hashem Enochach Ishto Ki Karahi Vayetar L'Hashem. Okay? Well, she says he stood in one corner of Davin, she stood on the other corner of Davin. Fine. So Yaakov says, you tell me I should be like father. Father Yitzchak Davin for his wife Rivka. But there's a difference. Father did not have children. I have children. So clearly, it's not from me, Yaakov, that he is withholding, that God is withholding fruit of the womb. It's from you. You can't compare me to father. He was saying, father did not have children with Rivka. I have children. V'chiyat tzadikim einan mispalim ba'ad acherim, says the Ramban. Does a tzadik not daven for somebody else? How do you understand this? Even if the Ramban is saying it's true that he is not like Yitzchak, because Yitzchak did not have children with Rivka, so of course he was davening. But Yaakov did have children. He had four children with Leah. We just saw that. But nevertheless, v'chiyat tzadikim einan mispalim ba'ad acherim. How could he become angry at her? How could he say to her, am I instead of God that withheld from you the fruit of your womb? V'hine Eliyahu ve'Elisha hispalu ba'ad nashim nachris. And we find that both Eliyahu and Elisha Malachim Alf daven for a woman, daven for a strange woman. So what's going on? This is Yaakov Avinu. V'nira shebishfil zeh tafsaru b'seinu amru b'bereishis rabba. It appears that because of this, the rabbis took him to task, Chazal, and Medrash Bereishis Rabbah. Amar lo Kosh Baruch Hu, and the Medrash says that a Kosh Baruch Hu is not happy with Yaakov, so to speak. Shem says to Kosh Baruch Hu, says to Yaakov, V'kach onim es hameikos. Yaakov Avinu, that's how you answer someone who's in pain. Mima amakim karasich Hashem hameikos. She was in the depths of pain. It doesn't matter if you have and she doesn't have, your father didn't have, you do have. It's her problem medically, it's not your problem. She's coming to you. She's a woman who's crying in pain, not just a random woman like Elisha and Eliyahu Davin for Nashim Nachriya. She's your own wife. She's in your own home. She's your Ezer Kenegdo. She's the one you love more than Leah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov, Kach onim es hameikos? Is that how you answer someone who's in pain? Chayecha, remember the topic of this kuntras that we're learning is onas dvarim. Chayecha, there'll be repercussions to this. Shabanecha asidin la'amod defnei bana. In the future, I swear by your life that banecha, your sons with Leah, asidin la'amod defnei bana, will be meshubad to her son in the future. Of course, when did that happen? It happened when who becomes the viceroy? Who becomes in charge of all the food? Who's the most powerful ruler in the ancient world? Yosef. Who's Yosef? The son of Rachel and Yaakov. And who bows down to the son of Rachel and Yaakov? The sons of Leah and Yaakov. Chayecha shabanecha sidu l'amod of pnei bana. I just want to show you. I put it over here. Right here. So we skip ahead to Bereishis Perek Nun. Hey, Bereishis Perek Nun is all the way at the end of Sefer Bereishis. And Yaakov Avinu has died. It's Parshas Vayechi. Sefer Bereishis is closing. They go up and they bury Yaakov in the Ma'aras HaMachpelah. And what happened was they come back. Vayashav, you could see here, Bereishis Nun Pasuk Yedalad. Yes? Yeah? Okay, thank you. So Vayashav Yosef Mitzrayim Ahu Ve'echav V'chol Olim Yitolak Bar Asavi V'echrei Kavar Asavi. So Yosef comes back to Egypt, he and his brothers and all who had gone up to bury father after they buried father. Now, the brothers get nervous. The brothers say, you know, maybe this whole time Yosef was only nice to us because father was still alive. So out of kibbut av, Yosef could not take revenge on us, but we sold him. We threw him into the pit. We stripped him of the ksonas pas, and we told father that a wild animal has torn him, and we let father live with that deceit, for all these years, all these decades. Maybe now he's going to take revenge. So Vayurach Yosef, my brothers of Yosef see their father died. Vayomer, and they say, Lu yistameinu Yosef, maybe Yosef will hate us. Vashev yashiv lanu es kol hara asher gamalno. So now finally he's going to pay us back for all the bad we bestowed upon him. So now they command Yosef, and they said, your father commanded before his death, saying, kol somru li Yosef. Oh, you should say to Yosef. By the way, this is where Rashi says, Shina b'davar m'pnei Hashem. Yaakov never said this. The brothers say that Yaakov said, please forgive the sin of your brothers, and the very bad sin, it was bad because they paid you bad, and please carry their pesha, their sin, the servants of the God of your father. And Yosef cried. So they make up a story and they say that Yaakov said, you should forgive us and please carry our sin and don't take revenge. Yaakov never said this, but actually says, Shina v'davra p'nei Hashem, Yosef cries. Okay, and the brothers go and they fall before him, we will be your servants. And Yosef says, Al tira'u ki hatachas elokim ani. In his position of viceroy over the brothers, after sustaining them all these years, after providing them with grain and reselling them in Goshen and taking care of them, and clearly they are meshubah to Yosef, Yosef utters very powerful words. Chazal always pick up on similar lashon in different places in the Torah. Yaakov, in his wrath to his wife, says, "Hatachas Elokim Anochi Asher Manami Mech Priban." And the manager says, "Kach Onim Es Hameikos." God says to Yaakov Avinu, "That is how you answer someone who is suffering, who is in pain. Chayecha, I swear by your life. What do I swear by your life? That your children, Banecha, your children, Asidim Banecha, in the future, your children with Leah will be Meshubat to her child with Yosef." And Yosef uses the same words, almost Kim'ah, that his father used. Yaakov says in his wrath to Leah, "Hatachas Elokim Anochi." And yeah, what are you coming to me for? What do you think? I'm the one who withheld the fruit of your womb? I already have children. Hashem was not happy with that, as per Medrash Bereishis Rabbah. And in the future, many years later, after the death of Yaakov, Yosef utters almost, come out the exact same words to his brothers, Hatachas Elokim Ani. Here is the Midah Kenegah Midah. You and your wrath displayed a degree of onah estvarim against your wife. Here we see that Yosef says to the brothers those very same words, evocative of how you answered Rachel Imenu. Let's go back here. Chayecha shabanecha sidin la'amod lefnei bana. So in the future, I swear to God, your children will stand before her son, which is what I just showed you on the screen, all the way from the end of Perek Nun. He says, Hatachas Elokim Anochi. Yosef says to the brothers, Hatachas Elokim Ani. Va'derech ha'pshar, the way of the pshar, going back to the Ramban and Perek Lamed, Amar Rachel Yaakov. Rachel says to Yaakov, Sheyitein la'banim. Give me children. All she meant, says the Ramban, is please daven for me. Why did you think Yaakov could actually give her a child? She knows that God is the provider of life. Yaakov cannot physically give her a child. He can't create for her a womb. If God doesn't want it, it's not going to be. What she was saying is, please daven for me. She was saying, please daven for me. I want children no matter what. It's absolutely non-negotiable. You daven for me till the request is heard, till I absolutely have children. V'im ayin, and if not, she tamis atzma b'tzar. If not, tamis atzma b'tzar. She will put herself to death, so to speak, with her pain. Dibra shelo kahogen, Ramban says she also spoke not appropriately. Dibra shelo kahogen bikin asa. She spoke inappropriately because of her jealousy of her rival wife. It's very interesting. This is a very interesting maisa. Dibra shelo kahogen bikin asa, just because there's two wives here. So perhaps her pain is exacerbated not only by the fact that she does not have children and an akaras nechshav kames, but the other wife is having multiple children. So it's even harder for her. It's like Penina and Chana. So it's a funny story. But as Rosh Hashanah, we're making a wedding. So my father-in-law, a number of years ago, some many years ago, I don't know, he bought from an artist in Israel, Ksuba. Very beautiful Ksuba. He bought from an artist in Israel. And he told my son that you could have this ksuba. So my son brought home. He showed us. It was very, very nice. So my husband said, you know, maybe you should just send a picture of it to Rabbi Schechter just to make sure that it's okay. So my son sent a picture of it to Rabbi Shai Schechter. And he said, you know, I have this ksuba. So Rabbi Schechter texted back and he says, that's a Sephardi ksuba. Amongst other things, it says in there, you promise never to leave Israel with a smiley face. So we obviously didn't know, we didn't know anything. So obviously, Baruch Hashem, we checked out. Hold on a second, you need to ask me something?
Can I do it in the basement? Is there good Wi-Fi down
there? One second, could you what?
Do it in the basement. Is there good Wi-Fi down there?
There's Wi-Fi.
My Zoom.
Oh, you have a Zoom meeting? At what time?
10.
I'm finished at 10.
But why can't I do in the basement?
You could, there's
Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi.
Yes, okay. I teach from a basement also, maybe. Okay. So Rabbi Schechter said, this is a Sephardi ksuba. Amongst other things, it says, you promise never to leave Israel. And he wrote a smiley face. So obviously, we couldn't use a ksuba. But then, why did I bring this up now? Because while teaching this Ramban, because then my husband was speaking to Rabbi Yaakov Friedman Shlita from Beitar, the Shiva from Beitar. Rabbi Yaakov Friedman was visiting my brother Dasa Chsanya. So my husband was speaking to me, told him about the ksuba. So Rabbi Yaakov Friedman Shlita says, you know what else it says in there? So my husband says, no. He says, another thing it says in there is that the husband promises not to take additional wives without the consent of the first wife. Rabbi Yaakov Friedman said he's familiar with it because he has had Talmidim who are Sephardi, and they'll use a Sephardi ksuba. And one of the things it says is that the husband agrees not to take additional wives without the permission of the first wife. Okay, that's what I thought of as I was teaching the Ramban. Okay, so be careful to check out the ksuba before you get to the Mamash Chuppah, that it is kosher for your Mesorah. Okay. So Dibra Shelo Kahogam Bikinasa. So she spoke inappropriately because of, Yaakov spoke inappropriately to her. Yaakov spoke inappropriately to her in his anger. As so this is of course according to the Ramban. But she also, because of her kina, that's what the pasuk says. Vatayri Rachel kilo yalda liyakov vatikane Rachel ba'achosa. She's jealous. Why is she jealous of her sister? Her pain in not having children is exacerbated by the fact that the rival wife also is having children. It is mamash like Chana and Penina. It's bad enough not to Rachmana Lotzlam be blessed with Piria or Rivia. But it's much worse, it's much more painful, Rachman al-San, if the other wife is having children. So she spoke Shalom Kahogan, Dibra, she spoke Shalom Kahogan. She says, Havali Banim Vim Ain Mesonochi, that was inappropriate, says Ramban, Bechashva, Kiba Hava. So she thought, because he loves her, Yisana Yaakov. Yaakov will fast, v'yel bashsak ve'efer, they'll put on sackcloth and ashes, la'yispalel ad shiula banim shalo tamas b'tzarva. And she believed that he would fast for her, and he would put on sackcloth and ashes, and he'll daven until she mamish has children, and so that she will not die in her pain. So this is an extremely, extremely, extremely important Ramban passage in the Chumash, these two psukim, where we see this exchange. Remember, we're talking about the love of Onas Tvarim, and we see that Hashem puts everything into the Torah for us. Everything is illustrated in a way we need to understand, we need to learn. Rachel experiences these feelings of jealousy. He's in a very difficult place. Yaakov Avinu answers her inappropriately, and Hashem is not happy. And Hashem says, Kach onim esam ikos, that is not how you answer someone who is in pain. Chayacha shabanech asidin lambod lefnei bana. I showed you at the end of Perek Nun. Your mama see, Yosef uses almost the identical words that his father used against the sons from Leah. However, the Ramban says she also spoke inappropriately, Dibra Shalom Kahogan Bikinasa, because of her jealousy. Make sure you have the right ksuba. The Sfarik ksuba actually says, because their Masorah is different, of course, than ours, that the husband agrees not to take a second wife because there's a second wife who is having children. Or I should say, Rachel's a second wife, actually, because the first king is having children, the second wife feels very jealous. Let's go to the next Ramban on Pasuk Beis as well, which I also want to finish with you. Yaakov is angry at Rachel. So let's look at this Ramban here, okay? Why did he become angry at her? Okay. Oh, you have a husband and wife, and they're in their tents, and they have this exchange, and the Torah records it for posterity. So you could think, I bet you someone's going to reach out to me after Shir and say, I'm not comfortable with this, because we're talking about Yaakov, the Bechir Shabbos. You know, one time many years ago, I still remember what I taught, I still remember who it was. It's Parshas Toldos about Yaakov and Esav. Vayigdu hana'arim, and the boys grow up. Vayhi Esav ish tzadeh ish yodeh tzayir, v'Yaakov ish tam yoshev olim. Okay. So there's a medrash that says until they were 13, they were educated the exact same way. They sat on the same bench, they went to the same school, they learned on the same base medrash. After 13, their personalities came out. Yaakov went to learn in Torah, and Esav went to hunt in the fields. Rav Shamsher and Fall Hirsch, which I've seen referenced before in other pieces from Chinuch, but I mean, you could look it up inside. Rav Shamsher and Fall Hirsch is a very strong piece, and he says that Yaakov and Yitzchak and Rivka educated these two boys the exact same, and they were very, very different in their nature. They were very different in their temperament. They were not the same at all, but they were educated the exact same. That's what he says the Medrash means. The same bench, the same base Medrash, the same school, the same lessons, but they really had different needs. It was not Chanuch Lenar al Pidarko, and therefore Yaakov went to the tents of Torah, but Esav ended up being a hunter and a killer. So, I mean, we were learning Rav Hirsch, and I've seen it referenced in other articles on Chinuch since then. It's a very, very important piece of Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch based on the Medrash. Rav Hirsch is really accepted across all Hashkafic circles as a tremendous Talmud Chacham, Gadol B'Torah, and a Pshat on Chumash, Tehillim, etc. The Siddur. And someone left class, and she actually never came back. And she said she was very uncomfortable with Rav Hirsch. We were talking about the Avos and Imahos, and she was uncomfortable with the class, and we can't learn this. I remember who it was, and she never came back after that. And Rav Hotner has a letter, a very important letter, in the Pachad Yitzchak. I think it's his most famous letter. And he says that we think of our Gedolim as holy from birth. He specifically talks about the Chavetz Chaim, actually. And the Torah illustrates them. If the Torah didn't want me to see this passage, I wouldn't be in here. A lot of conversations happened between Yaakov and Rachel that are not recorded in the Torah. Our Avos and Imahos were not Malachim. If they were Malachim, they wouldn't be our Avos and Imahos. And they could never strive to be as great as the patriarchs, matriarchs, and Moshe, because if they were Malachim, you can't be like a Malach, ever, because you're a human being. So then there's nothing to learn from a malach. A malach doesn't have a yitzer hara. A malach doesn't have a yitzer tova. A malach has one thing. Do what God says. No choice. No bechira. That's it. If God didn't want this passage to be there, I wouldn't be there. Should we blacklist the Torah? Scratch it out? Please do not email me and say you don't like the passage. That's not my problem. Take a Musar Haskel. Don't email me and reach out and say I'm uncomfortable with this. Please. I'm not making anything up. You see it right here. Look at the Pshat. Look at the Ramban. You don't like the Ramban? Take it up with him. What Jewish home would eat ham? Says Rav Miller. Quote, ham in the morning, ham sandwich in the afternoon, some ham for supper. That's a from house. Take a Musar Haskel. Don't reach out to me and say, I don't like the Ramban. That's not my problem. The Chumash put this here. Why did the Chumash put it here? It's very easy to be polite to everyone you meet in the street. How are we with the people in our own homes? So many people are sitting with their mouths in their homes all day, says Rav Miller. The place where we are trampling most unannounced verm is in our homes. And it's a lav d'oraisa to hurt someone's feelings. And it's worse than eating ham. Quote, you cringe at the thought of eating ham. Ayichav Yaakov b'Rachel. Tfilas ha-tzadikim b'yadam. She'ein tfilas ha-tzadikim b'yadam. Shatishkim b'tayin al kol panim. Why did he become angry at her? Because the tfil of the tzadik, it's not in their hands to guarantee that God will answer. The tzaddik could daven, but does God give a guarantee he's going to answer? She spoke in the way of a longing woman in pain to scare him with her death. He became angry. And that's why he said to her, stop scaring me with your death. I'm not in the place of God. Only Hashem could redeem the barren woman, no matter what. I can't guarantee it. He was giving her musar. He was causing her to feel embarrassed. He gave her musar. Why? Why did he want her to realize, I can't daven for you, you got to daven for yourself. And this tzadikas, when she realized she cannot depend on her husband to daven for her, she came to daven for herself, to the shomea tzaaka, the one who hears the outcry. And that's why the pasuk says in Bereishis Perek Lamed, look here, vayizkeh Elokim es Rachel, vayishmeh Elokim, vayiftach es Rachma. Perek Lamed, pasuk of Beis. God remembered her. God listened to her. If you look at Targum Unkos on that pasuk, it says Hashem heard her tefilos, and then Hashem opened her womb. So ultimately, Yaakov is saying, I can't daven for you because I cannot guarantee what you want me to guarantee. However, ultimately, she realized she has to daven to her, for herself. That's why the pasuk says, before she has Yosef, Vayizkeh Elokim es Rachel, Elokim remembered Rachel, Vayishmael Elokim, God listened to her, he heard her tefilos, says Targum Unkos. Going back to the Ramban. And perhaps let's just finish this out. Ulai nitakein adas rabbeinu. Ki Yaakov ef shar shalonit palel ishta ahuva. It's impossible, says the Ramban. The Yaakov did not daven for his beloved wife. Ki akarahi, she was barren. Ela shalonit kabot tfilaso. So the Ramban says it's impossible that he actually didn't daven for her. But apparently his tefillos were not accepted. And Rachel comes and she takes him to task. And she says, give me children, no matter what. The tefillos with your prayers. Your father did this. You're not less than father. You should daven for me. However, apparently the Ramban says he did daven for the tefillos were unaccepted. And he became angry. But Amarla. But he said to her, he was angry at her because he said, you're putting this on me. It's not on me, it's on God. But my father, his tefillos were heard. He was a tzaddik. In the future, he would have seed. But the pre-ban is being withheld from you. So it's an extremely important passage. This is Paraklamet, again, Sukkim Alf through Base in Bereshit. a lot to learn, a lot of Mr. Haskell. Of course, he was the Bechir Shabbos. Of course, he was the father of the Shiftei Kar. Of course, he was Yaakov Avinu. We are called Bnei Yisrael. We're not called Bnei Avram. We're not called Bnei Yitzchak. We're called the Bnei Yisrael. Of course, we are midgets at the feet of giants. When we talk about the Avos and the Imahos, but they were not Malachim. If they were Malachim, they would not be the Avos and the Imahos. And we have to learn what the Torah wants us to learn. And we have to take a Mr. Haskell from what the Torah wants us to take a Mr. Haskell from. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, as quoted in an article by Rabbi Aryeh Zev Ginberg Shlita, that if somebody works for 40 years on Shmiras HaLashon, and he holds back one time from saying something he should not have said, the entire Avodah was for Tal'alas. Point number two of our psicha was from Rabbi Shai Shechter of the Chavetz Chaim, which is a very practical application, something that we can all use. If someone comes and starts speaking to you, whether it's on Nast Farm or whether it's a Sanus, Mechidus, Motsu Shemer, Lashon Hara, you should look at them, unfortunately, as a person who is mentally unwell. Just like you would not take advice from a person who has, unfortunately, not a sound mind, that's how you should look at this person. You must be a very unwell person. I would not going to listen to anything you say. If we put them in that category because of the poison spewing out of their mouth, then you will not listen, and then it's much easier to not be mekabel what they're saying when you recognize what category that person is in. Then we went to Rabbi Victor Miller, who says that the love of hurting someone's feelings, quote, is the same as eating ham, but it's actually worse, because eating ham is a love deraisa that never happens. We cringe at the thought when it comes to onas dvarim, we're trampling on it all the time. Then we went to Adam and Ishto, and perhaps that's why he was zocha to remain alive long enough to have Shais and become the father of all of humanity. And then we went to very powerful two psukim in Bereishis, interaction between Yaakov and Rachel, with very, very powerful thought provoking, lots of food for thought, Divrei Ramban. I hope, unlike the person who left the class, never came back. Be'ezrat Hashem, you will come back in 2 weeks, and if it makes us feel a little bit uncomfortable, as opposed to think about Yaakov and Rachel, we should think about ourselves. And why it makes us feel uncomfortable, and how can we apply today's teachings? We covered a lot of material to our very own lives, our very own homes, our very own interactions with the people who are closest to us. So I wish us all a day and 2 weeks of Siyata Deshmaya in this Avodas HaKodesh. We hope and that this year is a Zchus Aliyah Neshama. May Baal Shalom should accept our words and our Devei Torah. Zchus Aliyah Neshama for Tzvi Gershon Ben Yoel V'chana Lav Hashem and Zev Wolf Ben Yeshaya Aleihem Hashalom. May Baal Neshamas Merit Aliyos. I wish you a wonderful day of Besoros Tovos. And if you have off, go enjoy your day off in a kosher, uplifting, and Bekavadik way. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol Tov. Thank you for joining.
Hello.